And thank you, Brother Combs, for that special. And isn't it great to know you're saved and know who is in control? You know, I found out pretty quick in my Christian life who wasn't in control, and that was me. Found out the Lord's in control. And boy, if you'll just let go of the reins and let God, what an amazing Christian ride it can be all the way to glory land. And if you just hang on. Have you ever, go ahead and take your Bible and start turning to John chapter 8, if you would please. You know, there's so many different subjects in the Bible. You know, you read and that kind of provokes a thought here and a thought there about certain things. You ever noticed in the Bible, for instance, how many things happened in the Bible happened at night? You know, just different things that happened, and some things that we take for granted, and you go turn over and you found out it happened after dark. You know, a lot of people don't realize that Jesus won Nicodemus to Christ out soul winning at night. And it's a lot of different, just little things like that. What I want to cover this Wednesday night, and maybe one or two after this Wednesday night, have you also ever noticed how many stone throwers there are in the Bible? You ever notice that? A lot of people throwing rocks at other people. Now, tonight I'm just going to whet your appetite, all right? Then what we're going to do the next time we meet together here is we're going to look at some of these stone throwers. And we're going to find out why they were throwing stones. Because there is a reason people throw rocks. Now, take your Bible, if you would, John chapter 8. I'm going to use this as a launching platform, if you'll stand with me. Now, before I read John 8, let me read you one verse out of Judges chapter 20. Now, I'm going to use this to make a point real quick. In Judges chapter 20, the tribe of Benjamin had kind of gotten out of line with the Lord. And the other tribes tried to bring them back into line. They'd kind of gotten off into doing things they shouldn't have done and idolatry and a few things. And the other tribes tried to bring them back into line. They refused to come back into line. And so the other tribes of Israel came up against Benjamin to war against them. About 400,000 to about 25,000, somewhere in that vicinity. But that's not what the point I want to make. The point I want to make is that among the men of Benjamin, which were the ones actually in the wrong, In verse 40, in verse number 16 in Judges chapter 20, here's what it says. It says, among this people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Now, these were guys from Gibeah. And there was only 700, and then there were 26,000 other men of Benjamin coming out to war against the other tribes of Israel, which amounted to about 400,000 plus. But it says, among this people, there were 700 chosen men, left-handed. Listen now, everyone could sling stones. Every one of them. At an hairbreadth, in other words, they were pretty sharp at what they did. But I want you to listen to these last three words. They could sling stones at a hairbreadth and not miss. Now you say, what is the purpose of that verse, preacher? Well, I just want that to ring in your head just a moment to say a couple things. First of all, not everybody was stone throwers. Are you with me? There were 26,700 of them. Not everybody was throwing rocks. There were 700. There were some. May I say also that they could choose who and where they threw the rocks. It was their decision whether to toss, to throw, to sling, whatever you want to call it, or not. But I did find out this. When they did throw, they didn't miss when they threw. I find out that rock throwers, stone throwers, when they've got their intent to hit something, they normally don't miss. They will find ways to hit their target. Now, with that said, you'll recognize this verse in John chapter 8. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. By the way, that's pretty good advice. When you get somebody that's trying to lure you into an argument, ignore them. Okay? Not bad advice right here. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Now, we're going to stop reading there, but you know the rest of the story. They looked around at each other and knew that if they did cast a stone, they condemned themselves. Because then they would have said they were without sin, and they knew they weren't. But I want you to notice here that Jesus just simply said, He that is without sin. Anybody here like that? All right, then what are we throwing stones for? Come on now. That was his point. His point was, then why are you ready to stone her if you are sinners as well? And we know that Jesus forgave her, looked at her, and said, go and sin no more. And I want to talk to you tonight about stone throwers. Father, would you bless us now in our study tonight? We pray that you'd open hearts, lives, teach us something, we pray, from Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. When I was about 10 or 11 years old, a couple of buddies of mine and I thought it would be a pretty neat idea to pick up some rocks. We lived across the street, and there was a guy that lived across the street from us and had his car in the driveway. And, of course, you know, in summertime, or I believe this was summertime, anyway, kids get bored, you know, and so we kind of make up games as we go. This game was who can hit the man's car with the rock. And who could do it first. So anyway, we got some rocks together and we looked across there, and I spoke up and said, oh, I think I can hit that car with a rock. And of course, one of my buddies said, I dare you. Well, of course, we all know that when someone dares you, then that's just it. You've got to do it now, right? I said, when someone dares you, you just got to do it, don't you? Hey, folks, listen to me. I don't give a flip if they double, triple, or quadruple dare you. You ain't got to do nothing. And may I say to you, young people, and I want you to look right up here. You're going to be, some people are going to try to dare you to do some things, and they're going to make fun of you and call you a coward, a chicken. They may even walk around like this. But you know what? You don't have to succumb to that. I think it's something you've heard 1,000 times. It's a little bit of peer pressure. Well, of course, they dared me, so I just felt obligated that, you know, to do it. Isn't it amazing how that we'll do things regardless, because people put pressure on us, and we'll do them whether we think they're right or wrong, we'll do them anyway. So sure enough, I picked up a rock, and boy, I let her go. And I mean beautiful. I launched that thing, and the next thing I heard was smash right in the stinking windshield. I thought, why couldn't my rock just like hit the hood? Of course, once it made that sound and the man came out, and of course, like every responsible child that does wrong and busts a windshield, I ran! I took off! Unfortunately, he knew who I was and saw us running, and went over and had a nice little conversation with my dad. It was kind of a heated conversation. And I didn't get away with it. Too many witnesses. And, of course, I found out that when you're 10 or 11 years old, if it comes down to them getting a whooping, or you getting one, you're going to get one because everybody's going to point at you. And they did, of course, because I did it. But what I'm saying to you tonight, church, long story short, is that my little stone-throwing incident affected more people than just me. For instance, the guy's windshield that I broke and busted, what do you think he thought about me and my family? You think that he thought, boy, I'm going to go over here and talk to these upstanding people whose son just busted my windshield with a rock. You see, the thing about it is by throwing that rock and stuff, I didn't think about it when I threw it that it was going to affect my family. I didn't think that he was going to actually come to my house and talk to my dad. And so it did affect others besides me. What do you think he thought about us? What do you think he thought about me? May I say number two, my parents who had to pay for the windshield. Okay, they paid for my stone-throwing adventure. And you know, I found out that normally when stones are thrown, somebody's going to pay. Somebody's going to get hurt. And so when I threw it, I didn't think about that, but I didn't realize that it was going to cost my parents money. And it was going to cost me, all right, Firefly Bottom. Now, it did cost. It did cost my parents. It cost our family a visit, a testimony. And again, like I said, I paid a pretty good price by getting my backside lit up. Oh, by the way, and I love it, forever forbidden to touch rocks the rest of my life. You know, it's the old mamas and daddies. You know how we do. We say things and we know that it's impossible to keep. Don't you ever touch another rock the rest of your life. Parents, y'all understand what I'm talking about? We say things like that, you know, and 2 days later we're out there throwing rocks with our kids, skipping them across the lake, you know. Dad, I thought you said I was supposed to touch a rock. That's what I meant. I meant don't throw them at nobody. Now, let me make the application. Ask you a few questions. First of all, in this rock throwing, a stone throwing incident, did anybody benefit from the stone throwing? Anybody benefit? Busted windshield, cost my parents, I got a whooping. Any of three of those good? No, nobody benefited, all right? Number two, did it help or hurt those involved? Did it help anybody? Okay, did the guy come out and say, boy, you know what? I needed a new windshield. Thank you for busting my windshield. I had a couple of rock knots on there anyway, and you just helped me out. He didn't thank us for nothing. You see, does it help or does it hurt? Question number three. Did it affect the character and testimony of others? Yes, it does. And you know whose character and testimony that it affected most? Mine. And guess who threw the stone? I did. And you'll find out that many times it will be your character and your testimony that gets the blemish. You say, but, no, 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 no buts. You see, it affected other people, affected my character, affected my testimony, affected my family. Didn't please my father. Can I say this to you, church? We pick up a handful of stones, and everybody understand, I'm not talking about little rocks, and we start throwing them. Can I say something to you? It ain't going to please your father. My daddy wasn't happy with this at all. I mean, he let me know he wasn't happy with it. He showed me he wasn't happy with it. So it didn't please my father. And by the way, can I say also, it displayed the condition of my heart. You know what? I was a vandal at heart. And so you know what I did? I vandalized somebody's car. Can I say to you that when we throw stones at people, what it does is it reveals the condition of what our heart is and what's going on inside. And may I say to you also, it also reveals what our relationship is with Jesus Christ. Now you'll find out, go check me out, we'll look at this in a few, over a course of several Wednesday nights. But what I'm saying to you folks is you'll go find out all of the stone throwing incidents in the Bible, the people that were right with God and walking with God were not the ones throwing them. They were not the ones throwing rocks. It was other people that were throwing the stones. Now, seems to me that the evidence is pretty strong that stone throwing has the overwhelming potential to produce nothing but damage and almost no good whatsoever. So let me ask you tonight, church, why do believers participate in it? Why do believers cast stones when we know that the outcome of it is very dark and very bleak and eventually hurtful, destructive? Why do we do it? Well, I want you to jot down a few things. We're not going to be here but just a few moments tonight. I want you to jot down a few things to think about why we cast stones. And I'll back these up in a couple of Wednesday nights, okay? And we'll go to some places and I'll show you what I'm talking about. First of all, I think sometimes we succumb to casting stones and throwing stones. We succumb to temptation. The temptation is there. You say, like, what? Well, we get tempted by our flesh. We get tempted by other people to do it. Oh, I don't want to leave this one out. We get tempted by the devil to do it. Folks, anybody ever got caught up in that Samson mentality that you know what? You did that to me, I'm going to do it to you. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. And we get caught up in that Samson philosophy of operating as a believer. And you know what? God wasn't pleased with that. Matter of fact, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I check it out, at the end of Samson's life, he wasn't shouting for joy and winning souls. Was he? No, he was in quite a predicament that he got himself into, because you know what? He started throwing stones pretty early in life. Oh, by the way, kids, let me remind you, do you know who he threw the first stones at? His parents. That's who he threw the first stones he threw at his parents. You say, I didn't know he threw a rock at his parents. He didn't. And we're going to learn in our study that when casting stones, throwing stones, doesn't have to do with rocks. And so he cast them at his parents. Why? Because he succumbed to the temptation of the flesh. Anybody here ever succumbed to temptation of so-called friends that dared you to do something? Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Oh, let me just interject this right here. You say, oh, preacher, there's some things that we ought to throw rocks at. Yeah, you ought to throw some big rocks at a dog trying to bite you. Right? Or to get a coon out of the trash can, you can throw a rock at them. But we ain't talking about throwing rocks at coons. We ain't talking about throwing rocks at dogs trying to bite you. That's not what we're talking about. But I think sometimes people succumb to temptation is why they become stone throwers. May I say to you, number two, we get hurt or offended at someone or something. We get hurt or offended at someone or something, and that someone or something, for whatever reason, it provokes us, and the next thing we know, we've become a stone thrower. And remember the questions I asked you a while ago. Is it going to help or hurt all involved? See, folks, we just need to think before we start casting stones. Jesus simply said, if you're without sin, somebody cast the first stone at her. Folks, everybody in here believe Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, or throwing stones, that shall he also reap. You throw stones, one of these days somebody's going to cast them at you. And the first one that hits you on your noggin, the Holy Spirit's going to say, remember that? Remember that one? Here's a good time of helping us remember. But we get hurt or we get offended. And listen, one of the things in our Christianity we need to take out of our vocabulary is the little word but, B-U-T. Take it out. Because here's what you hear all the time. But, you don't understand, but. What did we do to Jesus? Anybody in Scripture find Jesus throwing stones? Nowhere. Just, I know what I did. Bless God, he did make a cord, a strap of cords. That's a big difference between that and stones. He was running money changers out of the temple. That's what he was doing with that. We're talking about casting stones for absolutely no reason, or maybe even for hurtful reasons. So what happens is we succumb to temptation, or we get hurt, or we get offended at someone or something, maybe somebody, something somebody did, or maybe even something somebody said. Number three, I find that the third reason that a lot of people become stone throwers is that they've always done it their whole life. You ever heard anybody say, well, that's just the way my mama taught me, or that's the way my mom, daddy taught me, or that's just the way it's always been. Well, change it. Doesn't have to stay that way. Change it. Hey, maybe you were raised in a stone-throwing family. Maybe there were some bad habits. Maybe you have hung out with some stone-throwing friends. Folks, when are we going to stop going back and blaming everybody else for our own problems? You say, well, I guess I'm going to be a drunkard because I was born in a drunkard's home. You don't have to be. If you are, you chose to be. When are you going to stop blaming your daddy for being a drunkard as the reason you were one? See, the thing about it is we're always wanting to point fingers at somebody else. So what I'm saying to you tonight, that excuse of we've always done it, or, preacher, it's just a bad habit of mine. A bad habit? How about let's get down where the rubber meets the road? How about sin? See, Jesus didn't say he that has bad habits cast the first stone. He said if you're without sin, cast the first stone. See, we like to categorize sin, oh, it's just a bad, no, it's not, it's wrong and it's sin. So we've always done it, or I've just done it my whole life, preacher, and that's just the way I am. Will change. You say, what does the Bible say I have to do? R-E-P-E-N-T, repent. Change the way they're doing things and who you're hanging out with. Number four, I find out also the reason people cast stones is because they've had stones cast at them. So someone has cast stones at them, so they feel obligated to throw cast stones at them. They've got that Hatfield-McCoy syndrome. All right? It's just like, you know what? You threw me, I'm going to throw back at you. That's that Samson syndrome. That do unto others as others do unto you. That's the philosophy Samson had. That's not the philosophy Jesus taught. That's not the direction Jesus taught. Matter of fact, I think if I'm not mistaken, Jesus taught if a man smite you on the cheek, turn to him the other. He said, but he might smack that one too. Yeah, he might. But you know what? That's Christianity, folks. That's when someone does throw stones at you, you just catch them, put them in your pocket and say, thank you for that gift. But you never return them and you never cast them. But people do because they've had stones thrown at them. Let me give you a fifth one right quick. Then we're going to look at some more scripture here. Sometimes people cast stones because they feel threatened by someone. Someone even threatens them in some way and maybe they feel intimidated, or maybe they feel that someone's trying to manipulate them. And so the way that they get back, or the way that they kind of shoot across the bows, they cast a few stones their way. You say, like what? Like regurgitating stuff from the past, throwing across at them. You see, a lot of things like that, folks, don't drum up real friendly business. Now, I just said there's reasons people do cast stones. But may I say to you tonight, it's never the right thing to do to deface someone's character just for the simple fact that you can. It's never right. And it's never right to do so based on decisions that they've made that you may not necessarily agree with or that you think are not scriptural. You know, there's a lot of people I love that I think are doing some things that are not scriptural, but you know what? I'm not going to bust their head open. And I'm not going to go put a sign and paste it to the front of their car. Not going to do it. But there are reasons in Scripture why people threw stones. Hey, folks, has anybody in here ever had anybody agree with you 100% on everything? Oh, by the way, we got two people. That somebody's agreed with you 100%. But you know what? I'm 50 years old, and I'm going to guess, all right? I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm going to guess I'm fortunate if I have 50% of the people agree with what I do and say. So not everybody's going to agree. But you know what? That doesn't give us anybody right to start casting stones at anybody for any reason. You say, well, what if, okay, let me say this to you. Do you know Jesus said in John chapter 10 that there are some that are not of this fold? But you know, I got people that I love very much, family members, that aren't even Baptists. So am I going to reach in my pocket, get me a sling and a stone, pop them in the forehead? No. You know what I do? When we go and have time at Thanksgiving or whenever and stuff, it's just one of those subjects we just don't talk about. Amen. Because if we do start talking about it, man, I don't want to become a stone thrower. I really don't. So all I'm saying to you is just one of those subjects. You know what? Hey, let's just go enjoy some turkey together. How about that? Let's just enjoy opening a few gifts together and praising God, because we do believe that Jesus was born of a virgin and in a manger. Let's focus on the things we do agree on and stay off of those things that we don't. Now, here's what I want to finish up with real quick. See, I'm doing pretty good. I'm watching. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 22. Before you feel led to throw a stone at anyone, I want you to consider some things, church. I'm going to give you some scriptures and we're done tonight. Matthew 22. Okay, Matthew chapter 22. Look at verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, which means to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. He said the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now listen to this. He said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He said, what does that mean? He said, upon those two, loving God and loving people, regardless of where they match up with you 100% down the line, he said the entire scripture is built on those two principles. Listen, folks, Jesus himself said the entire Bible was built on those principles. So you say, what is he saying? He's saying, don't get yourself in a place where you're casting stones. All right, look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. He really gets serious about this one. Listen to this. Look at verse 5. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, does your Bible say receiveth me? Okay, look at verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Now that's pretty serious language, folks, and I understand the context in which this is written. But let me just say this. You know, I can still make an application that even though Jesus, I believe, is talking about an actual little child, there are several places in the Bible where he refers to saved people as children. And so I can make an application here that if I'm casting stones at a brother, Jesus said, it'd be better for you to have a millstone about your neck and cast into the sea. That's pretty strong words. Matter of fact, it almost sounds like Jesus was saying the person casting stones is the one that needs to be exterminated. And yet we think it's the person that offends. Go back, if you would, to Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Let me give you one more. Ephesians 4:32. You'll recognize this one. It's been quoted many, many times. Let's start in verse 30 and kind of get the context of it, okay? I tell you what, let's go to verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto their hearers. That's a good verse. But look at verse 30. He said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And it sounds like if I don't do what he said in verse 29, I'm going to grieve the Holy Ghost. He said, grieve not the Holy Ghost of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now look at verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Well, I tell you one thing. Did you notice those words that were used there? Forgiving one another, tender-hearted. Did you notice what he used, also used the word edifying? Now, in my day, I have taken rocks and thrown at people as a kid and hit people and caused some injury and shouldn't have, but did. And you know something? The thing about it is that rock, that stone that I threw that caused the injury, it wasn't that person's fault, even though, listen, regardless of what they said, I'm the one that threw the rock. I'm the one that caused the injury. I'm the one that was responsible. How many times did you do something like that and your excuse was to mom and dad just prior to discipline, but they said, and you heard, it doesn't matter what they say. Are you supposed to hit them in the head with a broom? Are you supposed to throw them out of the second story of the house? No. Now, I'm being facetious, but you understand, mom and dad's not really concerned about what they said. They'll deal with that at another time. What they're concerned about is you endangered somebody's health. And may I say, by casting stones, you endanger somebody's spiritual health by doing so. Let's not find ourselves to be a stone thrower. Now, we'll pick up in a couple of Wednesday nights and take a look at some examples in the Bible where people cast stones and find out what happened in those instances. Now, Father, we come to you tonight asking your blessings upon our time together. Thank you for the privilege of being able to open the Bible and study a little bit tonight. And, Father, we want to be everything that we need to be as a good testimony for Jesus Christ. Father, if we cannot outwardly portray what we inwardly possess, then the world will never see the light of the gospel of Christ shining through us. And Father, there may be some tonight that have fallen into that trap and maybe have cast some stones. There are probably some here tonight that wish they'd never thrown them like I have. Wished some that I've never thrown. But Lord, many times we cannot retrieve the stone once it's thrown.